Hello and welcome to the Field Talk podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. Peggy Flanagan has served in the Walz administration as lieutenant governor since 2019. She now has her sights set on the U.S. Senate. She joined the Linder Farm Network's Lynn Kettleson to talk about her background and her vision.
Joining us on the Linder Farm Network, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. And Lieutenant Governor, great to have you with us. Last we saw you was at Farm Fest. I think you were in a pair of blue jeans and feeling pretty comfortable out there.
Yes, that was the last time I saw you. Frankly, Lynn, that's how I feel most comfortable is in work boots and jeans. So I was right at home.
That sounds great. Well, we want to talk about some ag issues, but before we do that, let's find out about you. Tell us about where you grew up and a little bit about your background.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in the community of St. Louis Park, and that's where I still live with my family. And you know, coming up, I didn't know the difference between a seed bag and a feed bag, but I sure do now. And it's been really important to me to make sure that I'm building relationships with farmers across the state. Because as a kid, you know, my mom worked incredibly hard, but it wasn't always enough to make ends meet. And so we relied on SNAP, which back in the day we called food stamps. And I know that there were farmers that I had never met as a seven-year-old who were advocating for me and fighting for me. You know, since then, I've been able to pay that back and pay that forward through public service. I'm a former school board member. I've served in the state legislature, ran the Children's Defense Fund of Minnesota, working to level the playing field for children and families in this state. And for the last 7 years or so, I've been the lieutenant governor of the great state of Minnesota. I'm a mom to a seventh grader and married to my local celebrity crush, and just feel really lucky to be able to serve Minnesotans and hope that I can continue to do that as the next United States Senator for Minnesota.
Let's talk about that before we get into some of the issues. You are running for Senate right now. Why are you running for that position?
Well, I'm running because, you know, frankly, as a kid, I felt like the bottom could fall out at any moment. And there are too many people who feel that way right now. Folks are scared about how they're going to pay their bills. And, you know, I think, you know, we need to make sure that people can afford the lives that they want to live. And so that is why I'm in this thing. I want to make sure that folks have every opportunity, that people can live wherever they want in the state of Minnesota, and know that they will have access to a hospital if you're going to have a baby, that you've got good schools, that there's infrastructure, and that you have health care, which frankly is the thing that I hear about most from people, especially in greater Minnesota. So I just want people to be able to afford the lives they want to live. And, you know, we don't have to agree on everything, but I can tell you right now, the thing that, you know, brings us all together is that it's literally all of us getting screwed by the wealthiest folks at the top. And it's time that working families really had a champion. And that's what I want to do.
Let's talk more about that, because I do think many times people in outstate, greater Minnesota, whatever you want to call it, feel a bit of a disconnect from the Twin Cities metropolitan area. How do you pull that together?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, I've tried to do in my time in the legislature, but also as a lieutenant governor, is just to get out of the Capitol. I think that's the way that we do our best work. My daughter often jokes that, you know, my mom's job is to go on field trips and help people. But I think, you know, I really think that's it. You know, during the campaign, I've done over 85 events across the state of Minnesota. We've held what we're calling kitchen table conversations, and have had most of them in red congressional districts, because that matters to me. I want folks to know that the way that I'm campaigning is the way that I'm going to govern. And I feel like that disconnect, you know, or that divide that folks feel oftentimes, that is because, you know, people who benefit from keeping us divided, right, are sort of, you know, stoking that fire. And so if I can make sure that people can get to know me, hear directly from me, and say, like, maybe I don't agree with her on everything, but I know that she's going to fight for me to be able to live my life, like, that's the work. And, You know, I think that there's a lot more that brings us together than separates us. You may live in the urban core or the suburbs or, you know, in a rural community, but you want to make sure that you can keep food on the table, you can keep a roof over the head of your family, and that your health care is not going to, you know, or one incident isn't going to drive you into bankruptcy. I think these are all things that we can agree on, and we should focus on those things that bring us together.
Let's talk about some of the issues right now. I know you mentioned you've been out around rural Minnesota. I've done the same thing. There certainly are concerns out there right now. What do you see as the big ones?
I think that, you know, from our farmers, the things that I'm hearing about it's really about the just things are so unpredictable right now. We know that, you know, farming is already unpredictable. There's things that you can't control, right, like the weather. But, you know, we're really hearing about the impact of these tariffs. It's been tariffs are on, tariffs are off. You know, it's really been a roller coaster for folks, and people are just looking for stability. You know, I am encouraged by the news that is coming out today that there's potentially an agreement regarding tariffs between the United States and China. And I think for our soybean farmers in particular, that's good news. It's been a bumper crop this year. And, you know, folks want to be able to get those out to market and not have to bin their beans, which is, you know, what I'm hearing from people. It's unfortunate that it took this long for us to get there, but I remain optimistic and look forward to the details of that deal. But at the same time, you know, I'm hearing from folks who are concerned about the $40 billion bailout to Argentina, importing of, you know, beef cattle from Argentina as well, when, you know, our cattle farmers are having a good year. 21 and 23 were hard. And so, you know, now folks are in a good position. And yet, you know, for importing beef cattle, that puts folks in a really tough position. Mediations are four times higher than they were at this time last year. And so, we just got to give stability to folks. It's, you know, one of the reasons that I'm running for Senate. I think, you know, folks who have been in this seat have traditionally sat on the Agriculture Committee. I want to do that too, because our job is to make sure that we're providing that stability for folks. I'd really love to see us get a farm bill done and find those ways to work together in a bipartisan way to get things done for folks. I think people just, again, want to be able to feed their families, to make a living, and it's been a really difficult time. But the number one thing that I am hearing about from farmers is healthcare costs. And so, you know, I was just in Canby, Minnesota, talking to folks there, and there was a farmer who said that their deductible is $15,000 a year. They just paid $600 to go to the doctor for a 5-minute med check for a medication that has really improved their quality of life, but that's completely unsustainable. So for a lot of farmers I'm talking to, they're like, healthcare is our number one cost. They're looking at next year and what that means for their family. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be a lot of people who just decide to not get health insurance or not buy in. And so that's going to put a lot of people at risk. It's why I think ultimately we need to get to a place where we have Medicare for all. So, you know, you have health care when you need it, and you're not going to go bankrupt if you have some sort of medical incident. And, you know, then farmers can focus on farming and not on their health care costs. And that's why I want to serve.
It will be interesting. The markets are certainly not reacting to the China announcement in a big way. I think there's many, many details that have to come out, and no signed agreement at this point. So we're far from uncertainty or certainty on that whole issue.
I think that's right. And it's really been, I mean, it is the tariffs. It's been, you know, as we've talked to folks, I talked to a farmer in Rochester who said, you know, that they were out $360,000. Because they had received a grant from both the USDA and USAID, they might lose their farm. So there's just, it's been incredibly difficult, and it doesn't have to be this way, I think is the most, you know, frustrating part for me. And, you know, people should be able to afford the lives they want to live, should be able to farm and make a living. And, you know, that's why I'm running. I want to make sure that we're bringing that stability, predictability. And by the way, Congress has completely, you know, abdicated their duty. Their duty is to, you know, to make sure that they're the ones who are weighing in on tariffs, and simply throwing up their hands isn't why, you know, we sent them to Washington. It's time for them to lead too, and to be the voice of the folks who are being most impacted here.
I know farmers would be happy with no tariffs from countries going both ways. Most support free trade. So I don't know if we can get there, but certainly that's where farmers are at.
Absolutely. And I think, again, we need to listen to folks and what they're telling us. And, you know, perhaps that is what is driving the president to try to reach this agreement with China. People are upset. And, you know, I think that folks should raise their voices, you know, let their members of Congress know how this, and you know, is impacting them in this moment. Because certainly I think he's starting to feel the heat, and that matters, right? People should be responsive to the needs of their constituents.
We're getting toward the end of our interview here time-wise, but why should people support Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan for Senate? What endorsements do you have? How about your closing statement here, Lieutenant Governor?
Sure. I would really appreciate earning your vote and your support to be able to ensure that people can afford their lives. That is why I'm in this fight, and we do not have to agree on everything. But what we can agree on is that people should be able to make a living, have good schools in their communities, and get the health care when they need it. We've received the endorsements of over 60 legislators, local elected officials from all across the state. I'm proud to be endorsed by former Senator Al Franken, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and know that for me, the most important endorsement that I could receive is from the good people of Minnesota. So I will be out there working hard, listening to folks, earning your vote, because I want you to be able to afford your life. I'd be honored and humbled to be able to continue to serve the good people of Minnesota. People should be able to thrive and not just settle for survival. That's why I'm running for Senate, and I'd be honored to earn your support. And if you're interested in learning more about our campaign, you can visit peggyflanagan.com.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan joining us here on the Linder Farm Network.
Thanks for listening. Find other podcasts at linderfarmnetwork.com and on Apple and Spotify. Get up-to-date farm news and market information daily from your local LFN affiliate.